Yeah, it would be a big deal. There'd be shore parties and sailors coming, downtown.
An aircraft carrier might dwarf cruise ships in the Lynn Canal this summer. And are you smarter than a sixth grader? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. A diverse group working on Southeast forest issues will continue to exist, though its role may change. Tongass Futures Roundtable members decided earlier this month to hold at least one more meeting, but some timber advocates are switching their focus to a new pro-development panel. Shelley Wright of the Regional Leaders Group Southeast Conference says she and some others are turning to a new cluster development workshop.
It is our hope that that workshop turns into a timber group that will actually develop the industry, not only the land allocation, but the value-added industry, as well as developing new arenas for the timber industry to grow.
That group held its first meeting earlier this month. It included business interests, but not environmental groups. Wright says Southeast Conference will also remain in the roundtable. Lindsay Ketchell of Southeast Alaska Conservation Council says a narrower organization limits the potential for change.
You can go off and start another group to try to resolve the issue, but if you're not engaging the folks that the perception is where there's the conflict, I'm unclear how we're going to get to any resolve. Then we'll just go back to the old ways.
Those old ways are lawsuits that delay or block timber sales. Some environmental groups on the roundtable have continued filing suits. State Forester Chris Mache serves on the roundtable committee considering organizational changes. He says the group is worth preserving.
And it puts a lot of different people in one room that usually don't get together with each other. There's some real potential power in that because if they can come to agreement, consensus on some solutions, I think they would have a very strong voice.
The committee will consider stronger leadership styles to help focus meetings and reach decisions. It'll meet before the next roundtable meeting in Heidelberg on Prince of Wales Island sometime in May. The Tongass Futures Roundtable is a collaborative group including Southeast loggers, landowners, environmentalists, native groups, and government agencies. It began about 5 years ago. It addresses a variety of regional issues, including forest management. A United States Navy aircraft carrier is considering a stop in Juneau this summer. The USS Abraham Lincoln will be participating in training exercises in the Gulf of Alaska in June, and if all goes according to plan, would stop in the capital city for a few days on its way back down south. CBJ Port Director John Stone is trying to work out the logistics with Navy officials.
You know, the problem is we have all the cruise ships in then, so there's not really any berth space available during the time that they're talking about. And then the second issue is the boat has a lot of overhang, you know, being an aircraft carrier. And our docks really weren't set up to berth that type of boat. Even if we had open space, I don't know if we could really tie it up.
Stone says they're trying to figure out if the Abraham Lincoln could anchor offshore, either downtown or in Auk Bay. He'd prefer it to be downtown.
Yeah, it would be a big deal. There'd be shore parties and sailors coming, downtown, and I'm sure all kinds of events. So, I mean, a big celebration type thing. That's what we're looking at anyways.
The Abraham Lincoln is an 1,100-foot Nimitz-class nuclear-powered carrier commissioned in 1989. Juno, of course, is no stranger to Navy ships. Three past Navy vessels were named for the capital city. The last USS Juno was decommissioned in 2008 after nearly 40 years in service. That ship visited its namesake city 3 years ago, shortly before being retired. A sixth grader was the top speller in this year's Haynes School Spelling Bee, beating out the top 11 candidates from the school's fourth through eighth grade classes. Ketch Jacobson took the title with the word Hamlet, winning him a sponsored trip to Anchorage for the state spelling bee next month. Marty Fowler and Sky Posey took second and third in the contest.
In class, they did a spelling bee, and the two contestants from each grade came into the spelling bee. There is one homeschool that came for fourth grade.
It was a long list of misspelled words for the three finalists that led up to the win, ones that pulled quizzical looks from the adults who helped fill the bleachers. Bereavement, resplendence, variegated isn't spelled how it sounds, elucidate, that begins with an E, by the way, remember I before E except after C for fance, and crepuscular is tricky right at the beginning.
The word is yokel. The pool hustler disguised himself as a yokel to lure unsuspecting victims.
Yokel?
The American Legion Auxiliary sponsors the Bee, giving first, second, and third place $25, $15, and $10 prize money. They also pay for the trip to Anchorage for the winner and an adult. Skagway Panthers got a clear preview of what competition they might see at state later in the season as they competed against Western Alaska's 2A teams in a tournament in Chivac last week. And if the preview is any indicator, state will be good for the Panthers girls, at least.
The girls won.
Becky Jensen is Skagway's athletic director. The first game the girls played put Skagway 54 points ahead of St. Mary's, advancing the Panthers to a game against Creathlick. Skagway more than tripled the opposition, winning 64-21. Then they ended the tournament with the rivalry they were all hoping for.
And then we ended up playing Yakutat in the championship game, and Skagway came out on top, and it was 40-26.
Yakutat held the 2A state title for years before Skagway girls swiped the trophy last season. They don't expect that defending that position is going to come easy.
Me not being the coach, but I think it's important because I think our girls have a huge target on their backs right now, and sealing that win is pretty good. It gives them the confidence that they're going to need to go to regionals here in a couple weeks.
The Panthers boys lost to St. Mary's 44-59, but were victorious against Imonic.
And we beat them 85-59. That was a good win for the boys. Boost of confidence there.
The boys finished the tournament with a loss to Scammon Bay. Chivac and Yakutat played the final game of the tournament for the boys, with Chivac taking the win overall. Way back home in Skagway, fans didn't feel too far from the action. Skagway residents got updates from the players themselves as they posted travel notes from their trip to Western Alaska.
A lot of the kids were on the computer posting photos, and from what I've seen, it looks like they had a glorious time. Went ice fishing, snow machining. They got to do some pretty incredible things out there.
And updates also came in from game announcers in two languages. KHNS worked with Chivac to bring some of the tournament to the airwaves in Yupik for the first time.
It was mesmerizing. It was so cool to listen to him announce the other team in Yupik, and then when it was, we had the ball, he spoke in English, and I thought it was really cool.
Skagway boys, Panther wins the ball game 85-59. They'll be playing later. We wish good afternoon to all kids and listeners out there in Skagway and Haines. Have a good day.
The trip was a first for the Panthers, who don't have the budget for such travel. To get to the remote tournament, Skagway's Stuart Brown drove the teams to Anchorage in order to catch the planes that Chivac chartered for Skagway at a price tag of $13,500. Panthers boys and girls play Thorn Bay this weekend at home, then on the road next week to Angoon and Cake. Yakutat is home at the end of the month, followed by regionals in Ketchikan the last day of the month. Meanwhile, the Glacier Bears played Metlakatla over the weekend, the girls on the home court and the boys away. It was a Haines sweep with 4 out of 4 wins for the Glacier Bears. The girls were victorious over Met 66-24 on Friday. Coach Brian Elliott.
Met's an opponent that we've handled in previous years, so we're excited to get back on our feet a little bit after losing to Craig the weekend before. And first night, we did what we do best. Put on a pretty good press and create a lot of chaos and turnovers. We actually took care of the ball very well on our end.
For home game fans, the second night was a different scene, although still a clear win, 59-40.
We took a little different approach to that game. We were really trying to work on our half-court zone defense, so we didn't really pressure them that much in the backcourt. And we got into a pretty good rhythm in the first half, and we just fell off a little bit in the second half. It was hard for us to keep our intensity the whole game. I mean, we won by 20 points, so we can't be too upset about that. We still handled them pretty well. I'd like to see us keep teams like that far below 40 points. But it was kind of a new defense for us, so we figured out what works and what doesn't work, and onward and upward.
The team travels to Valdez for their next set of games, a first for the team. Coaches hope the tournament is somewhat of a crystal ball for the state games.
All brand new teams. We're just really excited that a lot of teams that are probably going to make the state tournament are going to be in this Elk tournament in Valdez.
The Glacier Bears will be matched against all 3A teams, including Hutchinson, Cordova, Valdez, and top-ranked Barrow. The Glacier Bears had been on the waiting list for years and finally got word last fall that they could play in this tournament.
Lots of good competition. We play Valdez in prime time the first night, so if we can sneak a win out that night, we'll be in prime time slots for the rest of the tournament. I think it's just great experience for us to go to a new place and play some unfamiliar opponents. You know, they don't know what we do, and we don't really know what they do, so it'll be kind of like starting fresh.
Haynes boys basketball won against Metlakatla on reputedly tough territory, the Chiefs' home court. The Glacier Bears barely took the game Friday 51-50 and won on Saturday 64-57. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.